The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length, where we discuss all things E-Mini, along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Borth. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Tuesday, 29th day of November, 2011. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow is up 67 points. S&P is up 7. The comp is down 4 at last glance. So, a wee bit of a mixed bag. Hang on. There. Thought I'd clear my throat without doing it right in your ear. Michael may be rebooting his computer because I don't see him in the green room. So we'll give him a moment to get in here. We'll hop to that recap, get through it. Great morning in the live trading room. I hope your trading went well as well. Some of you, last night, you got an email from me as I attempted to figure out the mysteries of Google Plus. Now, when Twitter first came out, I poo-pooed that. I had one of the first tweets on Twitter, but still I thought, oh, what a mindless waste of time. Nobody will ever use this. I was wrong. And then Facebook, yeah, pretty much I said the same thing. And, well, we know where that went. So Google Plus, all the other guys are poo-pooing it, so I'm thinking, you know, let me just take a shot at this one. So I went in to figure it out last night, and man, it got confusing. You got to create these circles, and like, Johnny might be a friend, but not a CFRN partner. Whereas Sally might be a friend, a family member, an acquaintance, and a partner. Circles overlapping circles. And then you realize just how many people you have in your contact folder. And this thing wants you to go through and define your relationship with each individual. Wow. Now, with Facebook, you can just kind of get on there and you can just kind of get going. But with Google Plus, you kind of got to map it out first. Otherwise, your stream, as it's called, is empty. There's nothing in your stream. Try adding people. So, I added more than a few of you last night, and you probably got an email. And now, if you use Gmail, the fact that it's Google Plus, don't think it can't end up in your bulk folder or spam folder because even though it came from them, it can. Because I use Google Voice, and when I get a voicemail, it will transcribe it and email me the transcription. And oftentimes, the transcription of the voicemail, although it's sent from Google, ends up in either the bulk and or spam folder. So I'm almost ready to turn my bulk folder off because too many things that I really do need to see. I was wondering, it's like, man, nobody followed me on Twitter in a while. My feelings are kind of hurt. I went to my bulk folder and they're following and unfollowing left and right. But I never saw any of it because it was all buried in the bulk folder. Okay. All right. Sounds like Michael's scraping around in the background there. I can hear the chains dragging. And
yep. You all right, buddy? I am scraping.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. You know, I was here about 5 or 10 minutes early.
Noisiest guy on radio. No, you weren't.
I was. You weren't here. And then I tried to open it, and it kicked me out. I think we tried to open it at the same time. Anyway.
Man, we've been hanging out,
here
playing Christmas music, a little Judy Garland. Yeah, serious.
I missed all that.
You missed it all. You missed it all. But for those of you that do want to follow us on Twitter, we are at CFRN. If you stumble across the other CFRN, which is at CFRN Swing Trader, that feed is locked for the moment. Okay, that's not. I can't allow any new followers there. But if you do want to follow us, please do, at CFRN. We tweet trades from time to time on the overnight. Things like the Euro. Well, we used to do the S&P, but we're not doing the S&P now because we're getting ready to launch our new Swing Trader product. We did have our first beta trade. Well, we had our final beta. A lot of people signed up for that. We're in the midst of it. We're one trade in. And here's where it triggered at 72 on the Sunday night open. Folks were notified on Friday morning. Triggered here. And we talked yesterday about 96 being maybe not such a bad spot to just take your profit or, you know, reduce your risk. We laid out a couple of different scenarios. And I did get one email, and I responded to that email today. And if you're out there, Bill, I won't use your last name, if I sounded terse in my reply, I didn't mean to, I apologize. But the beta is all about shaking everything out. Here's what I've learned in life. You can do something in your head 1,000 times, okay? But it's not until you actually go get the hammer and the nails and the saw and you get in front of that piece of wood and the sawdust starts to fly, that all of a sudden you go, oh, gee whiz, I never even thought about that. Oh, now you're going back into the house to get your tape measure, and you're back out there pretty soon, you're hammering, sawdust is flying, and you're like, oh, I need a T-square. And you're back in the house or back to Home Depot. You follow what I'm saying, guys? That's kind of what a beta test is all about. It's where everything you've kind of dealt with on paper or just worked out in your head, you actually go through the motions. And that's where you find out that there's a hole, a flaw, you know, an I you forgot to dot, a T you forgot to cross, stuff. And so, bear with us. We're doing our best to disseminate the information to everyone in a timely manner. I think we've done a pretty fair job so far. And then I got a reply email back. It's like, dude, I wasn't being critical. I was just trying to figure it out. So, that's when I realized I was probably a little too stressed out and uptight and said, yeah, hey, my apologies. So, anyway, it's been a nice trade. Whether you got out at 96 or got out at any point along the way, let me just say this. If you got out at any point above the trigger at 1172, there you go. That's a good thing, right? Right?
It is a good thing. Yes.
All right, got a question. Question in the box. What is Stitcher? It's an app for your smartphone. It's not the best app. I've got to get a new sponsor and a new commercial. We are big fans. Stitcher's good. Let me not say that because this is being recorded for Stitcher. Stitcher's a great company, and it's a great app for podcasts, for listening to radio after the fact. There's another app I'm wooing. It's called TuneIn Radio. Totally awesome app because you can listen live. You know, you're sitting in the doctor's office or at the DMV or standing in a line at the grocery store. You can listen to CFRN live. Okay, that's pretty awesome. Over a smartphone or an iPad or a tablet. Just good stuff. So we'll always be friends with Stitcher. But I use TuneIn Radio almost every day. It's an awesome app. So that's what it is, Frank. It's a smartphone, smart something app. Speaking of smart stuff, I can now talk about my wife's birthday present because it's after her birthday. Guys, ready? Now, you know I'm the coolest kid on the block, so... But I'm on a budget, okay? Got a little budget going on. Not spending large this year. So what does a cool kid get for his wife who's on a budget? Now, it just came out. It's brand new. It's only been available a couple of weeks. No, Robert, I didn't go to the thrift store. That's good. Because I'm not opposed to shopping at a thrift store. You get a lot of great stuff there. Okay, I won't make you guys guess. The Kindle Fire. And there was silence throughout the room. Most people just scratching their head.
How is it? How do you like it?
Most people just scratching their head going, what's that? Well, it's not a full-blown tablet. And it's not just an e-reader, okay? Which I always had a hard time with the e-reader concept. But some of the guys that I listened to, who were like really smart guys, they were reviewing the Kindle Fire as I was on one of my walks and I was listening to their show. And they, these guys, I mean, they're like really smart, so not much excites them except each other and themselves. But they were really excited about the Kindle Fire. They felt that unlike the Galaxy Tab, which was like kind of a knockoff of the iPad, their interpretation of the Kindle Fire, that this is a whole different breed of cat. It's not trying to be the iPad, which costs $500-$600. Oh, by the way, we're giving one away in 2 days if you haven't registered yet. But it is it's not just the e-reader anymore. Now it does apps, games, Facebook, business applications like word processing. You can surf the web. Oh, and you can read books. You can watch movies. You can watch TV shows. There's this deal called Amazon Prime. You pay like $80 a year, and you have like unlimited access to their library of movies and TV shows, and you get, I think, one ebook a month. And I'm talking like an e-book, like a New York Times bestseller, hot book. There's, from what I understand, hundreds if not thousands of free e-books that you can download. So anyway, my wife's just, you know, beginning to discover it. We plugged it in last night, charged it up. I looked at it. I got her logged into her Amazon account. And, you know, we listened to a little music. And every review I read, because once I heard these guys, I thought, eh. Maybe they got paid something. So I went other places to read reviews on the Kindle Fire, and literally you can't find a bad review unless they're just somebody that's a hater. You know, they just hate everything. Or they just hate Amazon or Jeff Bezos. So for those of you looking for something for that special someone for this holiday season, at $199, it seems to be kind of a slam dunk. Now, by the time you buy the warranty, and by the time you buy a nice cover, you're going to be... And the warranty's pretty good, because if you drop it, spill coffee on it, they just give you a new one. You don't get that with the iPad, I'm going to tell you. You got to be really careful with the iPad. Oh, also, speaking of iPads, did I mention we're giving one away in 2 days? Yeah, okay. Do not download an app to your iPad called Doodle Buddy. If you do, then whatever you do, don't hand it to your four-year-old child. Because if you do, you will never see your iPad again. Oh, she is so fascinated with that thing, Michael. It is unbelievable. And
I bet she is.
And, you know, I know everybody says this about their kid, but she has incredible artistic talent. I mean, she just got into that thing, and she's drawing, then she figured out how to do shapes, and then she figured out how to do the rubber stamp, and then she brought over this thing, and she goes, Daddy, this is called hopscotch with lipstick. It was like this hopscotch pattern with these big red lips all over it. I said, that looks like the cover of a Rolling Stones album. And she goes, no, Daddy, that's hopscotch with lipsticks. I go, okay. Can
the things
I
they come up with.
Can I save that and mail it to all my friends? She goes, sure, Daddy. So, anyway, yeah, just, she really, and she sang the happy birthday song at dinner last night. She's four. She knew all the words, and she sang it very loud and very well on key, and the restaurant employees even all gathered around because they were kind of, how old is she, you know? Is she an experiment? Is, you know, where do you put the batteries in? So, you know, she'll grow out of it. She'll become a snarly, snarky teenager at some point in her life. But, oh, my God, yeah. Right now she's just precious. So,
yeah, don't rush the snarly, snarky stuff. That's going to, especially for your daughter.
Oh, yeah. Hey, did I mention we're giving away an iPad in 2 days?
We are? What do you have to do to qualify for that?
I meant to tell you. Well, a person goes to cfrn.net/iPad, and they take our free trial, which is actually free. There is no credit card required. Some people, I don't know, there's like 3-4 people that have already taken our free trial. They can send a friend over to take the free trial. The friend says, Joe Schmo referred me, insert your real name. And what happens is your friend taking the free trial gets entered into the drawing. And you, Joe Schmo, insert your real name, you also get entered into the drawing. And we're really going to draw an electronic name out of the electronic hat, and we're really going to give away the iPad in 2 days. So, if you haven't gone over there and done the deal, taken the free trial, or if you've already taken the free trial, you don't got to go, you know, just, you know somebody who's a trader that hasn't taken the free trial. Is this shameless self-promotion? No, I don't think so. We're having to spend $600 for this. So, yeah, I'm telling you, it's a great thing. I mean, it's an iPad. You might not even want an iPad. I don't want an iPad. I'm an Android guy. Okay. Somebody you know is an Apple fanboy or girl, and they would love to, you would become the most favorite uncle, grandparent, parent, whatever, slash anything. If you gave them an iPad, my wife, she gave me an iPad for Christmas last year, totally unexpected, and I've decided after 30 years, she's a keeper. I'm hanging on to that gal. She gave me an iPad. So, if you want to totally turn somebody's Christmas upside down in a good way, you better go register, get your name in the hat, and you might win an iPad too. Michael, I've rambled for 22 minutes, so let me just turn the camera over to you. And did I garble at all?
No. Actually, it seemed pretty good.
I feel like I need to gargle. okay.
Yes.
Go ahead, buddy. It's all yours.
All right.
We had a great morning in the live trading room, and now Michael's going to show you how we did it.
Yes. Let me grab the charts, and
he's going to show you how.
And we'll get right to it here. Now you garbled.
Did I? Okay.
It seemed like it, just a little bit, but I think you're back there. Uh-oh, hang on, I just accidentally moved my recording area again.
Oh, gosh.
I hate it when I do that. That green box is so sensitive. There we go. All right, let me make it a little wider. All right, we're ready to go. Hang on a sec.
All right, before you fire it up, let me just say this. On that TV show, The X Factor, I figured it out. It's all the people from America's Got Talent that got X'd. I watched it last night. Isn't it that good? All right, go ahead.
It's fine. Sorry. I had already clicked it when you said before you fired up. All right, anyway, we are recording now. Today is Tuesday, November 29th, 2011, and we're going to go over the results from the live trading room this morning. Okay, we'll go over the trades we took, the trades we didn't take, why we took them, why we didn't take them, and all that sort of stuff. First, let's start with the results. 36 ticks, ES, all right. What we're showing in here is that we've met our daily goal. Our goal was actually 2 points, but we took 1 point on the first trade and 2 points on the second trade. I'll go over it when we get to it, how we did the second trade. But let's just start from the beginning. All right. I realize it's 12:24, so I'll try to make this sort of quick. As quick as my charts let me make this. All right, we'll do that. That is our second trade right there. Trades we took have yellow arrows. Trades that set up that we didn't take have orange arrows. For the most part, I think I outlined them, most of them anyway. This was our first trade. We had a lower swing right here, all right, with a fresh bubble. Bubble is the red lines outside the black lines. Our first pullback to the BBC, we shorted. Once it had trouble right down here getting through this level, we were plus 1.5 points. I moved my stop up to plus 1 point. It came back and took us out right here at plus 1 point. All right, the market then turned around and moved up. Once the BBC got outside the box is the elbow indicator right here, the dotted line, and this line right here, they create the box. Once the BBC, which is the green line right here, got outside the box, we had a nice pullback down to the BBC. We went long right there. This ended up, we had about 3 or 4 minutes before the news event. I thought it would happen before then, but as soon as we got into the trade, the volume dried right up. You could see on the DOM, the bid and ask went from about 9 or 12,000 on each one down to about 3,000 on each one because we had a high impact news event coming. When the news event came out, it shot right through our target. Our target was right here at 2 points. It shot right through our target up to 5 points. Anyway, we got our 2 points. At this point in the day, we were plus 3 points, and we were done. That's where the plus 36 comes in, because we had three contracts on. All right, from then, we followed the market along, and we were looking to go short here, but we had the space down here, so we weren't able to. Then we were looking to go long over here, but we had this space right here, so we weren't able to. Then we... we're looking to short here, which we did do. We had a fresh bubble down here. Pull back up to the BBC. We shorted. Once we got 1 point profit in the trade, we moved our stop to break even. It took us out of break even. And then it went in the opposite direction. Then our break began right in here. All right, so I'm not even sure what transpired after that. It doesn't look like there were any valid trades after that period. All right, let's jump over here to the 10,000 contract. Because we did take one trade in here. There was a trade in here that Dwayne took. He took, I think, 2 or 3 points on. I actually took the trade as well, but once we started the print support right here, we shorted a break down below this level right here. Okay, so we had a sell stop in at 99.5 right here, and we shorted that. After a couple of bars, it was right around break even. After a couple of bars, it started to print the support dots right there. I don't like to trade into support, so I took the trade off at break even. Dwayne left the trade on, and he got 2 or 3 points out of the trade. I'm not sure how much, but he left the trade on and got 2 or 3 points out of it. From there, the market just got pretty choppy from there. We did have one partner in the room this morning who was wondering about if we had a bullish cross here, because this was right at the break, And he said, if we get a bullish cross, would the first pullback be the place to go long? And we said, it depends on where the cycle is. And the cycle was actually favoring a long trade at that point. The deal with the long trade was the window of opportunity, BBC to MA1. We got right up to the MA1 right here. Unfortunately, that was only about a point. So hopefully, if you got from the BBC to the MA1, you took your risk off once you got to the MA1, and then you would have gotten stopped out of break even, or you might have even taken profit there at the MA1, because that was the window of opportunity right there. All right, from there, it was just chop. Now, let's move over here to the YM. You can see we have these three trades. These are the three trades that we took, and they're all in one area right here. Okay, our first trade was, it's kind of hard to see, but we had the bullish cross, and it pulled back down to the BBC. We went long right here. We did get about 8 or 10 ticks profit in the trade, and then it came back and took us out of break-even, okay? We got out that first trade at break-even. Then we had bullish divergence down here, so we went long up here on the bullish divergence. As soon as we got a close above the MA1, when our risk would have put us below the MA1, was 7 ticks risk, okay? It put us, it put us below the MA1. Okay, I just read your note, Dwayne. Okay, that's good. I'll be done here in just a minute anyway. We took that trade and we got stopped out -6 ticks. Okay, -6 ticks on that trade. Then we had a bearish cross. I took the first pullback here to the BBC, right here. I shorted that, and what I was looking for was a move down to here. All right, once it moved down to there, I took the risk off the trade, and it moved beyond that, you know, probably, I don't know, five points beyond that or so. I moved my stop up to +10 ticks, and that's where it ended up taking me out at +10 ticks. I did say to the folks in the room at the time that if we break this level, I think we're going to have a good YM trade on our hands, you know, a rather large YM trade on our hands. And the thing did end up going from, I think I was in up here at 85, and it dropped down to 550. So it was a 35 point trade overall. From there, we didn't have any more trades on the YM. We ended up plus a little bit on the YM. All right, but for the record, we ended the morning session. We met our goal early, relatively early, plus 36 ticks after the first half hour. We had, over here, I'm back to the YM right now. We had a bullish cross here on the YM, the pullback down to the BBC. Price was contained by the MA1, which is a common occurrence. The MA1 is the window of opportunity in between here and there. You know, that was during the break, so we didn't take any trades in there. We have another one setting up right now, actually. We had a bullish cross right here with a pullback down to the BBC, and it's already gone back up to the MA1. That's it. That's what we had on the morning, so plus 36 ticks. All right? And that was it. The recording is done. If anybody has any questions, now is the time.
Yeah, I sent you that message just so you knew you didn't have to rush.
Okay, that's all right. I was.
You want to go back and do it again?
I was kind of Russian anyway. It seemed like, well, I'm actually French, but I wasn't really Russian. But
I'm sitting here thinking, okay, people don't really tune in to hear me ramble about, you know, the Kindle, or I don't know, maybe they do. What they really want to hear about is what we did and what we traded and how we traded it and why it was good, and so. Maybe I should just come on like at 11:30 Eastern and ramble for a half an hour, get it out of my system, then you can come on at noon and do the recap.
Well, come on now. I think everyone appreciates everything you have to say, Dwayne. Everything. I think David would second that. Once you play his intro and he feels that he can speak, then I'm sure he will. Am I still trading options? Yes, Kyle, we're still doing the options. The options and the swing trades, you know, we're not just going to throw that information out there anymore, because you have to be an active partner or a beta tester to get the information in a timely manner. Okay. Yeah, Gary, nice comment. See, Robert says he likes the rambling.
Thank you, guys. You guys are my Christmas present.
See that? And Kim says she appreciates all your wit and wisdom. See, they need somebody like you to soften everybody up for me, because I'm just all business, and I get in here and it's just all business, and And it's good that my part is only a few minutes long, because I don't know, I think my part is, I don't know, it's all business. And I think people appreciate, you know, the lunchtime sort of, softness that your quote unquote rambling brings to the show. Am I rambling? I feel like I'm rambling.
I'm typing a message to Bert.
Okay.
And I'll just say it out loud, and then I don't have to go tippy tap in the background. no, maybe I better.
All right. Does anyone have any questions about anything that I went over? Anyone? I know I ask that every time, and usually nobody does, but I really do mean it. If you have any questions, throw them out there, and I will do my best to respond to your questions.
You know, I said this in a different way in the live trading room this morning to those who were there on the free trial, but let me say this to the audience at large. The majority of you come, you sit in the background, you listen, and you don't interact. You don't participate in the discussion, and that's okay. I'm not trying to make you feel bad for doing that. But, you know, I'm often, somebody will send me a link, hey, will you go read this or look at this or check on this, or, you know, and so I know that out on the forums, you know, I see a lot of people ask innocent, reasonable questions on a forum about some indicator or some methodology or just some way of trading the markets, and you can tell the person is kind of new. Or maybe they've been at it a while and you can kind of tell they've been kind of beat up and they're just looking for a ray of hope. And so they ask a totally innocent question, and then all of a sudden these knuckleheads, these armchair traders, they show up with their teeth bared and their fangs out, and they rip the poor guy to shreds. You know, what are you, some kind of, you know, and I feel for those people. And so I just want everyone to know that although sometimes we may make statements that try to, we don't want to sound like the smarty pants. We don't want to sound like the know-it-alls, okay? I mean, we want to share with you what knowledge we have, but we don't ever want to be arrogant. We don't ever want to appear to be talking down to anyone. If we've done that, I apologize for everybody that's a part of this radio program, because that's never our intention. We want to foster a sense of community where people feel safe. And so if you have questions where you've held back and didn't ask because you thought somebody might think less of you or make fun of you, I promise you that won't happen on this radio program. Now, if you get arrogant and ugly, then we'll take you down a notch or two quick. Before we boot you off. But if you're asking a legitimate question about something you don't understand, you don't believe, you don't know, you know, just ask, okay? Because whereas you may get treated shoddily out on some forum, you won't get treated shoddily here. You'll get an honest answer. If we don't know, we'll Google it. And possibly it could lead to a follow-up telephone conversation and or series of emails. If we can't give you the right answer, then we have a network of people who will be able to. We'll find somebody. We'll get you some kind of reasonable answer, or worst case, we'll treat you with dignity and respect. So I just don't want anyone to ever be afraid to just type into the... I mean, I'd love you to say, hey, give me the mic. I got a question. Would love to give you the mic. Love to have you speak up and ask questions. But I know most people really aren't up for that, although the invitation is there. But don't ever hesitate to type in, okay? Yeah, Robert, you're right. People that put down questions are trying to make themselves very lofty, you know? They are. It's the whole... David has talked about this a number of times, about the schoolyard bully and how we're all, at some level, still in junior high school, you know? And it makes them feel like a big man because they can kick the little guy, you know, the new person, so... Anyway, I just felt led to say that because I want you all to feel comfortable here and know that you can ask questions. And that we're not going to feed you, you know, smoke and mirrors. We're just going to tell you the truth. That's why we trade live out in the open every day. with real money and a real Dom right in front of you. All you got to do is come take the free trial. It's a 5-day free trial, no credit card required. If you've taken the free trial in the past and you didn't take full advantage of it, or you've now had second thoughts and going, well, you know, I thought those guys were kind of, you know, full of it or crappy or not the best traders in the world, but now that I've gone out and spent like $20,000 on some really bad stuff, maybe they were onto something, and I think maybe I should take this free trial again and this time really pay attention and really give it an opportunity to sink in. If you're that guy or lady, send an email to secondchance@cfrn.net and tell me what your experience was. Tell me what happened. Hey, you know, I took your free trial. I didn't pay attention. I had to go to the dentist. Or I went and followed this other guru, and it didn't work out. And so I would just like to try again. And I'll talk to Michael, and we'll grant you a second chance. Well, that sounds pretty magnanimous. We'll grant you a second chance. We'll let you back in again, okay? We'll let you take another look, all right? Because we don't have anything to hide. We really want you to see it. Not only do we want you to see it, we want you to understand it. And we want you to understand the repetition. Because for some people, it gets very boring. Because every day, we just do the same thing. Over and over and over. We're not always whipping out, you know, new tricks and tips. It's just kind of repetition. That's kind of what we want to drive home, is the repetition and the discipline. This is what the market does. This is what the setup looks like. This is how we take advantage of it. In a nutshell, okay? At partners meetings, we do bring out new things and talk about new ideas and concepts and all of that. But in the trading room, it's kind of plain vanilla, day after day, because that's what new traders need. Traders that are trying to get profitable, they need to be fed plain vanilla, day after day after day. And then someday you'll be ready for the pistachio, but not yet, okay? All right, Michael, anything else?
All right.
No, did I mention we're giving away an iPad 2?
Yeah. You're giving it away to people who sign up for the free trial.
Exactly.
Is
that
right?
I keep meaning to tell you. All right. Let's pause for a brief station identification, and we'll go to Mr. David Williams at pagetrader.com. What do you think? You want to do that?
Excellent. Let's go out there.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
David, good morning to you, sir. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
How are you?
I'm all right so far. How are you?
Good.
Good to hear.
Just, you know, I love the, I just want to say this for the record, I love the Christmas season. I know that some people get depressed and some people, something happened in their life to make Christmas a hard time for them, and like anything else, you know, you can feel for them because it hurts for some reason. But I just love it. I just love Christmas time. I love seeing the stores. I've mentioned this on your show before, Duane. I don't know what it is. I just love when the stores get all gussied up for Christmas time, and there's people in the malls, and everybody's happy and buying things, and it's almost like a twilight zone of happy people rushing around and buying things. It's not real. I mean, it's a fantasy world. If I had my way, which I may, but if I had my way, I would absolutely adore going to New York flying to New York for the sole purpose, even though there's other things you can do there, but the main purpose would be to go to New York and go to Macy's, the seven-story Macy's store, department store, that's been there for God knows how long, maybe 100 years, maybe 50 years, whatever it's been.
What's the movie, what's the Christmas movie that has Macy's in it? You know, the classic?
Oh, I can't think of the title, but it just flashed in my, I just saw it for a split second.
Somebody but, in the audience will know.
Yeah, that store is seven stories, and you know they're going to turn that store. You know, it almost sounds gay. I mean, to be honest, you know, that a guy would like to go see a, you know, dolled up Christmas store. But it's really, for me, it has a meaning to me that there's all these people shopping, all these happy things going on. The store has all these, everything's just Christmassy, you know, sleighs and snow and, you know, everything is enticing to makes you want to buy it. I don't know what it is, but it's something very attractive to me to be there and see that. I'd love to go to New York and spend a few days there. I was born in New York. I was born in Queens, in Rego Park, New York, and Queens, New York. And I was only there for the first 3 years, and I really don't remember much of it. But that's what I'd like to do, and I just may do that.
Well, you know what, Dave?
I won't be taking American Airlines to New York, perhaps, but I might try some other airline. Thanks for asking. Go ahead.
Miracle, come on now. Miracle on 34th Street.
Yes, that's what it is.
That's
Miracle on 34th Street. That movie may have some of the reason, because I adore that movie, like everybody does. That's a great classic. Mm-hmm. Probably, in many ways, as big a classic. It maybe not as big, but it's certainly up in the same category as Wizard of Oz. It's that powerful. It's that big, and it holds its own. You know,
yeah,
the Wizard of Oz is a special category unto itself, I guess. But Miracle on 34th Street is a very powerful, wonderful movie. And for those of you who, like me, for many of my earlier years, would never have watched any of those movies, I'll tell you something. If you want to see real acting and real storylines that really have true emotional content, they really move you, they really bring out a, you know, sorry for the gussied words, but like a rich patina of emotions in you. You go watch movies that were made in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and watch, look at the, especially the 30s and 40s, the storylines and the way these people acted it and the realism. I don't know. You know, to me, yes, you know, you could take a movie like Jurassic Park, you know, with has great special effects and stuff, and it's really a fun movie to watch. But in reality, it's no movie at all. It's just a silly, you know, fun amusement park, visual amusement park ride, so to speak, because it is done in an amusement park, so to speak, for these animals. But you go back to these 40s and 50s where these real story lines were really acted well, and there are some good movies nowadays, but I don't know, as I got older, and my parents and my mother used to watch these old movies, I started watching them and started really falling for their charm. I mean, there's just an amazing amount of charm and depth to these movies that is hard to identify exactly what it is, but you sure know it when you are missing that, when you're missing that depth in a movie today. So, and there are some great movies out, and it's a different era and all that. I realize all that. That's one of the beauties of the history, to know history, is that there are eras that are have come and gone, and if you don't know of them, you're missing something in terms of understanding, you know, humanity, where we've been as a people, what we've been through in the arts, in the movies, in, you know, movies, paintings, anything. And so if you are bored or don't think you would like those movies, someday when you have a day off or something, go find, there's always a TV channel wherever you live that plays those old movies, and spend a little time, just take a look at them and just let a couple of them sink in. And very much in some ways, like how fairy tales stick in your head, because they're so simple and yet there's such a depth in the very depth is in the simplicity somehow, where you think you need some complex story where it's seven levels deep and this, that, and the other. No, actually, the depth is in the simplicity itself and the singularity of the message. And there's not a lot of, there's none of the political stuff going on where the people are, you know, they have a black kid in the movie because they want to say this or that, you know, none of this whole politically correct thing that they're doing now. It's real stories, and check it out for yourself. I think you may find a whole new avenue for, you know, loving the whole movie world itself. And I don't mean just when, by the way, when I'm saying politically correct, they do it in other ways as well. It's not just with African American people. It's with all kinds of people. They do all kinds of things to make political statements, ecological statements. Avatar was filled with this. Avatar, which was a really interesting and fun movie, unfortunately was filled with a lot of political correctness about the war, terrorism and things like that, George Bush, the whole thing. And so they squeeze that in there, and in doing so, they put second and third and fourth levels into it, and that, of course, diminishes the simplicity, and the depth is actually in the simplicity of those movies, the beauty of them. So, Dwayne, any interesting movie for you that you can bring up just to feather into this subject?
Well,
and then I'll move on to the markets here.
Actually, I'm still at Macy's with you. Actually, you can.
Okay.
My wife could verify this. This is officially on my bucket list. Not Macy's, but Christmas, New York City. I want to watch Snowfall on Rockefeller Center.
Let's go. Let's invite.
Don't ask me why. It just, man, that thing just. There's some huge emotional thing inside of me that twangs when I think about the people skating and the snow falling and me being there, and I want to do that once in my life. Now, I was a crazy sailor on 42nd Street.
I do too.
I was a crazy drunken sailor on 42nd Street in New York back in the day. All right, when I could care less about Rockefeller Center or snow. Well, not that kind of snow. And so, yeah, man, I've really been thinking about that. Every time it gets this time of year, I want to go there. Mm-hmm. I want to sit. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to put my hands in one of those little deals, but I'll just stick them in my pocket because that would be too gay. So, do you own one of those things, Dave? One of those
little things
that you put your hands in?
What is the thing that
well,
you put your hand in?
Muff.
Is it a hand warmer?
Yeah, it's called a hand warmer.
The hand warmer.
You can call it a hand warmer, Dwayne.
Do you
can call it a thing, but if it's a hand warmer, just call it hand warmer.
Do you have a hand warmer, David?
No, I don't.
No? Okay. I was just curious. I don't.
No, I don't have a hand warmer, but if we all go to New York, we can pick some up.
At Macy's.
Get some New York pizza and watch Rockefeller Square. Then we can go to Macy's. We can look at all these things that it's. You said it right. It brings a powerful emotional response to you, and you can't fake it. You have to be there to get it. So, I'm on. You just tell me what flight to be on, and I'll meet you there.
Hmm.
I'm sure there's other people that would really enjoy it. Even the tough guys out there, who are too tough to do this. But you know, as you get a little bit older, and Dwayne definitely is a little bit older. Of course, so am I. As you get a little bit older, you'll find that the fear of having emotions, feeling emotions, expressing emotions, feeling different kinds of emotions other than I want to kick your butt or I want to, you know, chest thump you, you know, the most basic man emotions, you'll find that you're capable of much more than those simple emotions and protecting yourself from feeling anything else. And you can be a much, you know, sounds almost ridiculous, but, you know, you can be a much better person, you know, I hate to put it in those terms, by going a little further in your emotional life than a lot of people are willing to do. So many people are unwilling, so many men are unwilling to allow themselves to feel or to have others know that they feel. Many of them feel it, but they're not willing to show it because they don't know how that would look. And it has nothing even to do with looking like you're some freak or whatever. It's just people are embarrassed to you know, break out of, this goes back to that thing we talked about yesterday, break out of their little box that you're, that you've lived in and that you think people see you a certain way. And, you know, to be, you know, the real thing that we're given as men is the ability to break through barriers. That's one of the things that is built into men. That's how, I mean, not that women haven't helped humanity technologically to get to where we are, but so much of this has been, you know, it's a man's world, right? Like they sing in the song. And so much of this stuff, going to the moon and breaking through barriers and, you know, all the things that we had to do to get to this point, it's everybody's included. But man, you know, God, man, woman, child, in that order. And, you know, I'm sorry if you're a feminist, but that's the way it is in the Bible. The fact is that we push through barriers, we break through things. And if you spent the last 15 years not breaking through anything, then you need to man up and break through something, because that's what it means. And if that manning up and breaking through puts you into a position where you now feel or express the feelings that you've had before that you didn't express before, then that's, you're a better person for it. And you can now say that you're doing a manly thing. You broke through some area. But to run around your whole life hiding the way that you really feel from other people because you're afraid and all that stuff, that's not manly. But maybe, you know, you think you're a man because you're out kicking a football or, you know, yelling at somebody or flipping somebody off in the car or whatever. That's just hiding. That's just straight up hiding. Have you ever been in a movie theater where you're with a girl or you're with some people or you're with your daughter and the movie's playing and it's a real sad thing and suddenly you think to yourself, oh, I better not cry. Don't want these people to see me cry. You know, I'm why? Why don't you want somebody to see you express that emotion? You tell me, but I'll tell you why. The reason why is you don't want to look weak. That's why. That's why you don't want to be seen crying in a movie theater with your friend, or whether you're with guy friend or girlfriend or whatever. Because you think it's going to make you feel weak and look weak to other people. Why don't you be a man and cry? Why don't you just have a nice big ball? Just cry your eyes out. Why don't you do that once, right in front of people? Because if you can't do that, then not only are you hiding from yourself, you're hiding from other people, and you're not a real man. Because a real man can do all kinds of things that are beyond your definition, if you're anything like I used to be, your definition of what a man is. He's tough. Well, let me tell you something. You can be real tough. You can take care of business. You can do all kinds of other things in the real world and be real tough and even flip off other drivers. But you have the capacity for so much more and so much more emotional depth than you might have allowed yourself. And that is breaking through barriers. You know, you don't have to just break through a technological barrier to be, you know, because that's what man does. We want to go to the moon. We want to go to planets. We want to go way under the sea. We're always pushing the envelope. And sometimes at very, very high prices, we lose our lives doing that. And then finally, you know, other people can come in and finish the work or whatever. Why don't you finish your work as a human being instead of just thinking about it technologically and break through some new emotional barriers that you've had? And you'll find a depth and a simplicity in that, just like in those movies, that can take you much further than you've allowed yourself to go. And by the way, once you get there a little bit, boy, can you interact with the opposite sex, you know, the people that you've always tried to act like a man in front of. You can act and interact with them in a whole new way, much deeper, much more intimate. I don't mean that in a sexual way, but it can be. But I mean intimately, meaning you can get very close and very engaged, but put it this way, where you couldn't before. And let me say one last thing here. A lot of women really have great friendships with gay men. Do you know why that is? Because, not because gay men are necessarily, you know, has nothing to do with necessarily their, you know, because they're cleaner and they're dressed better and they're, you know, it's not that. It's that those men, those gay men, they're not interested in the women in that way, but they have a emotional depth to them that ordinary men won't allow themselves to get to. And in that emotional depth, they find they can match and meet the other person on that level. And so women are very comfortable talking with them. You may have a girlfriend or a wife who has friends like that. They just adore them. They just think they're the greatest things. They know they're gay. They know they're, you know, it's weird and all that, but they really adore them, and they can hang out with them for hours. And some people say, well, that's because these guys are really like women.
Yeah,
they are. But in reality, they also have something that you may not have. You may actually have to work to get something, believe it or not, that a gay man has that you don't have. I'm not promoting gays,
no.
But I'm just saying this particular quality.
And that
quality is this emotional willingness to express and feel something that goes beyond your current definition of what it means to be a man or to be tough or to be any of that stuff. And in getting to that spot, you can suddenly be very intimate with somebody emotionally, and that exchange is something you may not have now, that exchange, that back and forth. And you can get that by just breaking through barriers like real men do. Real men break through barriers, and in this case, the inner barrier. Go ahead, Dwayne.
I agree with what you say. However, there's a fine line there. Do I think that probably the fathers and grandfathers that we grew up with, were they probably a little too tough, a little too hard-nosed, a little too afraid to show their true feelings and emotions? Yes. But I also look at the current crop of young men out there, and I don't like a lot of what I see, okay? And this is just my opinion. My radio show,
sure.
My opinion. Like it, don't like it, who I'm talking to, the audience. You know, somebody, there's a lot of weepy-eyed, emotional, feminine men out there today that, I want to be honest with you guys. At the end of the day, a woman does want everything David just said. Someone to be kind and tender and understanding and real. But at the end of the day, she still wants a man.
She certainly does. And I'm not addressing this to the wimpy people. I'm addressing this to men who have not broken through their own version of what it means to be a man. Listen, you don't have to keep repeating, I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man, because you are one. All you have to do is break out of a box that you've been in. Mm-hmm. That's what men do, is they break through barriers. The people that you're addressing, the wimpy people, whatever that's going on, that's a whole different thing. I'm just simply saying, be willing to go places that you haven't gone before, and you'll find locations that you haven't found before. You'll find new ways of connecting with people that you would have never dreamed of, and you're still a man, because you don't have to repeat it. You don't have to assert it to be one. I know a number of people, and I even work with one person who has a very, very powerful hang up about his manhood, about being a man, what it means to be a man. And he's living his life in a way to pretend to be that. Even though he feels dramatically differently inside, he's pretending that all the time. And he's such an extended example of that, but it's true for a lot of people. And listen, if it's not true for you, then fair enough. I'm just mentioning something on the radio program because it's my radio program. No, it's Dwayne's, but I'm his guest. And it's just something to think about, because we're talking about New York and about going to these silly places where we feel emotions, and it just struck me that, you know,
well, if you'd stop messing with the guy's head by putting estrogen in his coffee, it might not be so.
Right.
No,
that is right.
We went through a generation of, or a couple generations, or I don't know. I mean, with the Phil Donahue's on the talk show, and it was all about men getting in touch with their feelings and,
yes,
you know, blah, blah. And so what happened is we spawned this generation of weak males, you know, with hair, mm-hmm, product, mm-hmm, and all this other stuff. And again, I'm all for men, you know, real men pray. I mean, real men do all kinds of things. Real men love Jesus. Whatever, you've seen the bumper stickers, there's a million of them,
sure,
of what real men do. And real men should do and feel free to do all of those things, but you just have to remember at the end of the day that your wife, your significant other, she wants, well, your wife, she wants a man. She wants somebody,
yeah,
that is going to provide for her, protect her. Yes, I know she has her own career. Yes, I know she brings home a good salary. I'm just throwing out, you know, some hypotheticals here. But that doesn't change the fact that when there's something goes bump in the middle of the night, unless she's one of these phony police detectives on TV who sleeps with a .45 under her pillow, when something goes bump in the night, she's not the one jumping out of bed to go see what it is. She's elbowing you going, honey, did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be the one that gets up and says, well, no, I didn't. I was asleep. But I'll go see if there's anything there. You got to be that guy.
Then the movie gets really scary if the man doesn't come back for like 15 minutes. And finally, she has to get up and go looking. That could be pretty scary.
Or he sticks his head out of the bedroom, looks down the hall, and goes, oh my God, there's somebody down there.
Here's another one. Are you unwilling to say that you're scared of movies, that certain movies scare you? You know, that's another big one for men. No, man, it didn't bother me at all. No, I got over that stuff a long time ago. Yeah, no bigger. You know, movies are designed to be scary. I mean, scary movies are. that's another big one for some people. Anyway, if it applies to you, apply it and think about it. That's all. I've been through, you know, I'm only talking about things that I myself have gone through, although I never was the schoolyard bully or tough guy like that, but I know a lot of people who were, and I'm friends with some. And, you know, but each of us go through our own path in life, and certainly most of us are just ordinary men trying to, and women, trying to, you know, live our lives as best as we can. But to be trapped by, you know, imposed, conditioned ideas about what it means to be a man, you can do all kinds of things. You can be the man and on and on and on, but you can also feel much deeper than that. I'm really referring to, you know, what it is you feel and what it is you're capable of expressing. And with that, Dwayne?
Yeah, we're almost out of time. You want to go to the market? So.
Oh, sure, sure.
This is a market show, folks, for those of you tuning in for the very first time.
I know. But well, I would have been done with it a little while ago if you would have just not chimed in. No.
Yeah, I know.
All right, let's take a look at the markets. Only a real man can trade in the S&P 500.
Absolutely.
That's all I want to say.
That's a true story.
You're not really a tough guy until you've traded in the S&P 500. Okay, let's take a look at the S&P 500 because this is a market that I'm afraid you will have to be a real man to trade in this market. yesterday we talked on your radio program about this market going higher into today and that the bare minimum price that we would go up to off of the bottom from at 48, which for us was an important level. He got down a little lower than that. Would be 99 minimum, and then the next level above that is 1205/07, which they reached on the overnight but did not reach during today's pit session yet, and we're trading at the 1196 level right now. So having done this, this sets up for this market and a number of other markets, sets up November 30th as the next important top. And I mentioned yesterday that as soon as they did this, then we would come out with a date for the next top, and that's what we're doing right now. So the next high is due on November 30th. There's a number of other markets that have important dates right around this time period, which would be essentially December 1st plus or minus a day. So that's why this is important. We're at a very important juncture. We haven't really had a very... I mean, it's impressive, but it isn't really that big of a rally yet that we've had. And tomorrow will be the on-time day. My preference is always, as I'm not as interested in trading the one unit early. All of this timing is plus or minus one unit of time. So I'm not as interested in trading the one unit early as I am trading the on-time or one unit late. Now, when the bottom got put in, a few days back on November 25th, we had not forecast that date as a bottom, but for our institutional people, we had forecast that the market would have a powerful reaction off of achieving 48 on the downside, the 1248 level. And there's a reason for that, and it has to do with spatial relationship forecasting, which is a method that we use if you're new, and if you're not new, you've heard about it before. And that would send prices up ultimately to 99, which is the main target on the upside for November 29th. Now, what this is doing is we're using two techniques, actually, to put that forecast together. Technique number one is spatial relationship forecasting, which is saying that 48 is an important level. But it's important, like anybody can say, well, a certain level is important, but 48 is important during this time period. And then it would be followed by 99, like Agent 99, not Agent 99, out of Get Smart. But it would be followed by 1199 into this date, the date that we're at right now, which is November 29th, and November 30th. But the price, 1199, was due today. That's what I was mentioning yesterday on your program, was that we need to go up into 1199 into tomorrow. And if they do that, then we will have this date. So the date now is November 30th, which is tomorrow, and that's Wednesday. So, you know, we've seen an awful, it's obvious, we've seen an awful lot of 1 week earlies, 1 day earlies, one this early, one that early, and therefore it's a little trickier to get into the trade, the actual trading of this, not just the forecasting and seeing the move, but the actual trading of it. And for those of you who are new to trading, you're going to find that whatever your technique or method is, that it's easier to call it than it is to trade it. You might think originally at the start that, hey, if I can call it, I can trade it. But the truth of the matter is that the calling of it and the trading of it are, they're not distant relatives. They're not connected in any way, shape, or form. They're completely different skill sets that you have to learn, both of them, if you're going to be in the forecasting type of trading where you're saying a certain number is important, we should have a reversal on a certain date or a certain hour, that kind of thing. There's many other ways to trade. This is just, if you're going to be doing that, you're going to find that the trading of this stuff is more difficult than the actual forecasting of it. So you want to, you know, you have to practice both of them. And risk management, which is what we always say, are you afraid to take that loss? Because that's usually, we go back to that fear thing. You just are not in the mood to take the loss. You're afraid to see your account go down. You don't know what to think of yourself if you took a loss. You know, gosh, I sat in the front of the screen for 7 hours today and I ended up losing $350. Why am I doing this? All of that stuff. When I've said this on the program many times, you have to find out who you are in the market. And part of who you are in the market is a whole feeling for how you understand your connection to the market and the way that you trade. Meaning that, yeah, you might have a day where you lose $350 or $350,000 if you happen to be trading in really large size, like some of the people that we know. But it all makes sense to you. That's what finding who you are in the market means. It actually makes sense to you. It fits into your view of who you are and how you connect with the market. And at the end of the month, the way I think, and everyone's different, but my particular thing is I don't care about any particular day. I do, in the sense that I'm here and I'm going to make my best efforts, but I don't care about any particular day because I'm really looking to simply be able to say at the end of the month, hey, I've actually improved my account balance, or I broke even after some scary, you know, times where I had to protect myself, or I did really well. And I wouldn't have done so well had I not protected myself these three times. And I've talked about that before, that you may do the right thing by protecting yourself several times during the month, many times during the month, but only three of those times, let's just say, if you had not done that, you would have thrown away, in many cases, all of your other profits just by those three times out of the 10 that you had to protect yourself or whatever, or employ a stop strategy. You know, suddenly, just those three, if you would have let those go and run, then you wouldn't, you know, run against you, then you wouldn't have had any of those profits. And that was a really big sort of an emotional and intellectual breakthrough for me, is when I realized by looking at my statements and reviewing my trades to say to myself, you know, here's a time that I did protect myself, but if I didn't, and if I was holding on and hoping, because I wasn't man enough to take my silly position off, to be quite blunt, when I knew I was wrong, then the thing really ran against me that time. And staying that way, had I stayed that way, that is, frightened to take my position off, you know, I would have thrown away X number of dollars, and that would have meant that this profit that I'm looking at right now would have been cut in half just on that one trade alone. And that really sends the message home that you have to do the right thing as best as you can every time. Every time. Every time. If you don't do it every time, the one time you don't do it, one of these times, is going to be the time where they really run them against you. And then you're going to have the problem of trying to decide what to do. While you're missing other opportunities, you're trying to figure out how to get out of this. It's the worst position to be in. Not only are you missing a number of other trading opportunities that you could be pole vaulting ahead in your account, potentially, but you're also now stuck with a position. You're stuck in the quicksand of a position moving against you, and you have to decide what you're going to do with it. And some people, because they don't have the emotional ability to take the position off, they figure out other ways around it. Like they short another market to try to hold on to their current position, and now they have two problems to deal with. Because in shorting the other market, which tries to help them hedge the one that they're working against them, the hedge starts to go against them. Now suddenly they have two markets that are going against them. The one that was originally going against them, and the hedge has now bottomed and reversed. Now they have two losses. Anything, I mean, listen, if you're going to trade like that, you might as well be a politician and just never say you're wrong, like our current administration. But I won't go into that. But just never say you're wrong. If you're trying to live a life where you're never wrong, then you're going to live a life where you never grow one bit. Because only reality can change you. Only letting reality in can make a difference to you and can make you see something that changes you. See something, not do something. The doing comes after the seeing. Something that you see will affect what you do and how you act. But if you don't let reality in, and in this case, reality is that the position is moved against you and you have to protect yourself, if you don't do that, you won't get over it because you're not letting reality in. You have to let it in, you have to take the hit, and then you can change. But if you don't do that and think that next time when you trade, it's going to be the same, meaning that you can do the same thing and somehow get away with it this time, the reason you think that is because you haven't grown. You haven't seen anything. Your behavior's not going to change because you haven't seen something. And until you've seen something, your behavior's going to stay the same. It's the seeing that changes you, not imitating somebody else or pretending that a problem isn't there. You and I and Dwayne and Michael and everyone else have the capacity to overcome everything. You have set your own limits. You have set your own stop sign. You have set your own barrier. You have said, this is the wall I can't climb over. You have said, this is the prison that I'm in. You have said that. You think others have imposed it on you, but they have not imposed it on you. They may have tried to impose it on you, but you accepted it. And in accepting it and in believing in it, you build the very walls that you are now a prisoner of. And how do you unbuild that wall? Well, the wall isn't real. There's no unbuilding of the wall. The only thing you need to do is see it as unreal. Listen, any solution to a problem that you currently have is no solution at all if it assumes that your problem is real, like you now do. If that solution inherent in it is the belief that your problem's real, well, then you're going to be struggling with it for the rest of your life because you think it's real. You've assigned reality to it. You've said, this is real. I can't speak this way. I can't do this. I can't do that because I have this wall I can't get over. What you really need isn't a solution that assumes your problem is real and then helps you to struggle through it. You need to learn to see the unreality of your problem. And the only way you can do that, that I know of, is to allow reality to touch you. Not reality to touch your picture of yourself, but reality to touch you. And when that happens, you will change and those walls will crumble. It's just like waking up from a dream. Here's a man running through a forest with two tigers chasing him. He has to make a decision. Does he turn left? Does he turn right? Does he jump into this upcoming lake? What does he do? When he wakes up from the dream, he instantly knows something that is inherent in the very waking up. He doesn't have to figure it out for himself. He instantly knows something, and that is, oh, that wasn't real. I really did believe it was real in my dream, and I really did have these four decisions I had to make based upon, within the context of that dream, what I needed to do. Now that I've woken up, I see that it was just imagination. I was just imagining all this, and I'm completely free of it right now without any effort at all because I see the unreality of it. You can do that with problems in your life, including trading problems, including problems taking a loss, including any of the problems that we're talking about in living day by day. And if you let reality in one area of your life, you'll find that it has a very nice effect of spreading to other areas of your life if you have an interest in doing so. Or you can just stay the way you are, trade the way you continuously trade, and not grow at all. And I'll tell you something, if you want to see what happens to people who don't grow, well, you know, you can look around. You'll see quite a bit of it. People just stagnating in whatever they're doing. And people want to grow. There's actually a desire inherent, I believe, in people that we want to, women and men, want to get through something, see through something, transcend something, break through something, and feel the new. And they want that, but life beats you down and batters you until you finally believe in all the walls. And by the time you believe in all the walls, there are some people that, unfortunately, in this life, they may not be able to see through them because they've put so much reality in them. So you have to be very careful what, you know, people go, oh, I don't eat this, I eat that. I'm very, very careful about what they put in their body. Have you ever thought about what you're putting in your mind and what you're accepting as real? And many of the things that we accept as real are being generated not by something outside of us, they're being generated by yourself that you're accepting as real. You remember an old memory of something that happened 15 years ago with a woman, and you shudder because it was a scary or something experience, or with a man, whatever, and you carry that into the now, you believe in it and now, and suddenly you've extended this false problem into a reality that you have to live with right now. How is that working for you? It doesn't work. It hurts. And so, you know, you're going to, at some point, you have to come to the understanding that whatever walls you've built, there's nothing outside of you. All the beautiful women in the world could come to you. All the men in the world could admire you. And if those walls still exist inside of you, it's just as if none of those things happened externally. All those good things can't help you. And you see this in movie stars that have all the adoration, they have all the money, and their lives are just crumbling because internally they have walls they can't get over. Externally, they have everything in the world. What would you rather have? Have everything in the world and have a million walls and crash and burn? And it really shows brightly, doesn't it, when somebody has everything that the world has to offer, but they have 50,000 walls inside of them that they can't get over. It becomes very, very obvious to everybody. And we see it all the time. So your trading, how does this connect with trading? Because your trading has to do a lot with you and how you think and how you feel about yourself and others. And one thing's for sure, if you don't learn to, and I mean, we're going back to the stop issue, and I won't hammer it anymore, but if you don't learn to take a loss when you're supposed to take a loss, you'll never learn it, because the way you learn it is by actually doing it. And don't ask me and never say how, because there is no how-to. You just do it. That's the how-to. The how-to is the never. How-to means you want to delay. How-to means you want more time to think about it. But just do it is something you're completely capable of doing. You can just do it. Like Nike's logo, just do it.
Yeah.
Remember the Nike logo? Just do it. That's one of my big things for my life. I was amazed when I saw them come out with that because I thought they were stealing some of my material. But they weren't. But no, the truth is that when you find yourself trying to figure out how to get over this or how to do this or how to do that, yes, in the practical world, how do I paint my deck? You know, I go buy the paint, I figure out the colors, I get the right kind of brush. That's a how-to. But I'm talking about in the inner world, the world that you have to live with yourself day to day, you can just do it. You can leap over all the how-tos because they're all meaningless, because you can actually just do it. That's breaking out. That's being a real man. That's taking the leap. You're not going to get there progressively step by step. You have to take a leap. And the leap is, I'm not going to how to do it anymore. I'm just going to do it. And you'll find that there's a whole new level of whatever the word is. I want to say inspiration, but there's a whole new level of insight that appears to you when you just do it. You don't allow yourself to be sucked into the how-to, because the how-to is a distraction, a delayed tactic of the old you. The just do it is the new you, where you take a leap and you find yourself capable to do it. Just like the mother, you know, duck throws her, or the bird, you know, lands in the water or whatever, teaches the bird to fly by tossing it out of the nest. They just do it. They just learn to do it. It's inherent. You have a lot of inherent qualities in you that you're almost, if I may say so, frightened to even come in contact with, because you've surrounded yourself with these very comforting problems and walls that you can live very comfortably in. It's not comfortable, though. And all this stuff affects your trading, because all of this is you. This is how you interact with things and people. So this is a very long-winded way of saying you should use stops, I guess. But
and you know what? With the modern technology, you put your order on, you have a bracket, you've predetermined. When you put the trade on, you go, I'm going to allocate this amount of risk to the trade. And when you click the mouse, you're entered into the trade, your stop is entered, your target is entered, and you don't have to fuss and fret and agonize over the stop. Am I going to honor my stop, not honor my stop? Once it's entered onto the platform, unless you go in, lay hands on it, and change it, then it's done. It's not something you have to think about or, you know, as I said, agonize over. It's just done. Just done. It's like you, when you call your guy on the floor, however you do it, you I'm assuming you probably tell him where. I don't know if you do or not, but if you just
I
told
used to
him,
before my brokerage took all my money, gambled it on bonds in Europe, right, and closed the account. But, you know, up to that point, it was good, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you would just say, hey, I want to get in here, and if it goes to here, get me out. You know, if it goes here in my favor, get me out. If it goes the other way, get me out. You give them some kind of instructions, and then you don't have to think about that. You don't have to be weighed down anymore thinking about that, because the decision's already made. It's done.
Yeah, I usually give an order something like, you know, guy answers, you know, MF Global, hey, man, you know, just buy a couple at the market and get back to me tomorrow. Something like that. That's the orders I place. The get back to me tomorrow order.
Not saying that you shouldn't give careful thought to how much risk you're going to allocate to the trade, but once you make up your mind, okay, then the electronic platform, when I first started trading e-mini futures, putting on an order was a three-step process. First, you had to get filled. Then once you got filled, then you could go put in your target. Then you could go put in your stop. And not necessarily in that order, but you had to do three different things. Once you got triggered into the trade and price was jumping around, it was very hard to then focus on, you know, where the realistic stop was and to actually put that order in, etc. And so, I mean, these are innovations that have come about in the last couple of years, and so for anyone out there who is not taking advantage of that feature on your platform, okay, I can't encourage you enough to do. It will take a lot of the emotion out of what's going on, a lot of the stress.
Right. Yeah. No, that's right. Trading can be stressful, but the stress of trading doesn't have to be high. It's just there's something involved. You're risking money. You're putting something at risk, and you are going to put your best trade together, hopefully. You're not just going to trade frivolously, etc. And sometimes I trade once a day or twice a day, sometimes more, but not really a lot unless there's really a lot of easy and obvious opportunities. And that we've talked about as well, that there's a maturity process, and maturity is probably a pretty good word, that you just have been through this enough and you're tired of your own, you know, sorry, crap, you know, the way that you handle things and the way that you jump, you know, stupidly into something and out of this, that, and the other. I'm not interested in that because, and you shouldn't be, you should be interested in just taking the high probability setups as they occur. And if you miss one, that shouldn't change your behavior on the next setup. You should just be dealing with this almost casually, but with some wisdom, if you want to think of it in that terms. And that wisdom comes from practice, practice, practice. And like the Chinese person that I told you about, you know, many times, that made the best Mexican food I ever ate at a little restaurant out here called Taco Ole. And I finally said to her one day, I said, you know, you're Chinese. How is it that you're making such great Mexican food? And she answered, practice, practice, practice. And that always stuck with me, that, you know, who would ever expect to see a Chinese, you know, a store owned by Chinese making the best Mexican food? I don't know. It's nothing racist about it. It's just struck me as odd that this food was so good and yet it was made by Chinese people. Sure, they could do it, but it just was surprising. And so she said that. And ultimately, funny thing, she sold that Mexican Taco Ole store to Mexicans. And they changed the menu around and it never was as good as when the Chinese did it. I guess the Chinese practiced a little more than the Mexicans did. But practice is what makes this work. You do have to practice this. This is a skill. There's really no mystery to this. Maybe there's a mystery in the technique that you're using or something like that. Maybe there or someone else is using perhaps. But the real magic in this occurs when you start to understand that you're capable of finding very, very adequate trading opportunities. You really are. You're capable of finding them, but you have other things inside of you that are at work as well, and they want their little day in court. After a while, you'll kick them out, and you won't care about them. You won't believe in their reality, and you'll just relax, and you'll wait for what you do understand and what you do believe in, and you'll probably trade a whole lot better. Nobody can guarantee that you're going to do really well in trading. No one can guarantee that you're going to do really well in life, but the interesting thing is that if you're open-minded and if you don't allow too much junk into your head, you're able to do quite a bit with very little in life. And there's a lot of people that I could name that are in the public that have quite a bit of things in their life that would normally you would expect them to not be doing much with their life, and yet they have very rich lives and very depth, a lot of in-depth living going on, and they're producing a lot with their life as well. You don't have to be a big producer. You know, you don't have to write a book. You don't have to do all that stuff. But living creatively, living happily, understanding who you are in relation to the market and et cetera, can really make a big difference. And one last thing I was going to say, I know we're talking a lot about psychology today, but I've said this before, and I think it's really true. If you'll clean up the other areas of your life, the areas where you've let things slide behind, and start catching up. You don't have to do it all in one day, but if you start catching up with that stuff, it adds a new feeling to yourself that you are capable of doing those things and getting past all that instead of living with all these undone things. And suddenly, there's a new sparkle to the things that you're now actually doing. You're, for some reason, cleaning up those other areas. The cleaning up is good in itself, but the fact that you see yourself accomplishing those things and getting past those procrastinated this, that's, and the others actually puts you, sort of catches you up to now, and suddenly you're alive right here and now, and everything you're doing now has a new sparkle to it and a new awareness to it, or I don't know what the word is, but you're able to do now better. You know, we could have a t-shirt that says, I do now really good, or something, because you weren't doing now good. What you used to be doing is living then, which is that you've got this long string of things behind you. Imagine a beach with a bunch of people walking on it, and each of them has a chain around their waist, and the chain is tied to a, what's that thing in the kitchen that you use, which water runs through and it holds a certain thing. It's a, you know, it has holes in it. So you could put lettuce in it and water will run through the lettuce.
A strainer, a colander.
It's a strainer. Yeah, that's it. Okay, so yeah, this is the Twilight Zone. I know I go to this, but just work with me on this.
Imagine a beach. Here's,
we're on a beach and we pull over and we're looking and we're seeing the strangest sight we've ever seen. Here's a bunch of people with chains around their stomach and the chain goes out and from behind them, and it's attached to a strainer. And each one of these strainers is a different size and has different size holes in it. So, you know what a strainer is? It, something can pass through it, but certain things can't because those holes have a certain size. So these people are walking around, and this particular fellow right here who, you know, whatever his age is, he has a particular strainer that has certain size holes in it, and that strainer's the sand in the beach. He has to pull that thing through the sand, and most of the sand passes through because he's got those holes in the strainer. but some larger objects get stuck in his strainer. Well, this is his lot in life. He's got that thing attached to him, and one by one, as he keeps living his life, more and more objects that couldn't pass through that strainer get stuck in it. Now, in his particular case, he's got different size holes in the strainer than this fellow over here. But either way, he's walking, and one by one, clumps that can't get through his particular strainer start to accumulate. And as they start to accumulate, it's getting harder and harder for him just to walk forward because he's got more and more stuff blocking the free flow of sand, which is life, through his strainer. And at some point, so many objects have accumulated in the strainer that he's no longer, no object can get past at all because the whole strainer is filled up and maybe only the finest little bit of sand can get through there to make it out of the other side. Each person's strainer is different. This person over here may have a lot of very fine little holes and a whole bunch of things clump up real quick. This person over here may have a larger set of holes and some small ones, so quite a bit continues to move through in his life. He's freer, he's got more life passing through him, and it's working better for him. But he still has the strainer. What I'm asking and what I'm saying is it possible for you to simply take that chain that attaches you to that strainer and simply unhook it and not live a life of trying to improve the strainer? That's what we're all doing. We're trying to improve something that shouldn't be improved on. We don't need to drill new holes in the strainer. We need to unhook it from ourselves and drop the chain. And now you can catch up with life. You're living right here and right now, and all these things that you're dragging behind you, all these things that are yet to be done, all these procrastinated events, suddenly you've sort of caught up with right now, and it's a very different experience. It really probably can't and shouldn't be put into words. Maybe poetry, but not ordinary words. When you have that experience, you'll know, just like any person can know, that there's a much better way of living than dragging around a strainer behind you that has peculiar holes in it that are blocking certain things in life from getting through. And if you accumulate too many of those things, less and less of life can get through your strainer, and before you know it, you're not really too happy. And you don't have that look on your face like you're going anywhere in life or doing anything in life or living anything in life. So the reason I brought that up is because it's a good analogy for many things, but one of the things it's a great analogy for is just cleaning up your life, just getting some of the things that you keep putting off, just take one a day, fix it, like, you know, the vitamin, one a day vitamins. Take one thing a day, and you might mess up and miss it that day, but you'll be surprised. As soon as you start cleaning some of that stuff up, it frees you up, and suddenly you kind of catch up with now, and you'll know that you weren't living in the now when you had all those things before. Now suddenly you can sense, wow, I'm really present because I've got all this stuff accumulated, cleared away. I've unhooked the strainer, and you can do a whole lot more with your life right now than you ever could have. You go from being the then person, the then man, the then woman, to a now man or now woman, where your whole purpose in life now is to stay up in the now and to make sure that this whole business of life accumulating and causing you grief and you not being able to catch up, and it'll happen again, but now you've got the experience of cutting those things short, getting those things done, moving through them, picking up the sock off the floor right now before next time you see it, all the things we talked about, and you catch up, and it's almost like a time machine. You almost feel like you've been transported. It's not a time machine that brings you to the future. It's not a time machine that brings you to the past. It's a time machine that brings you to now. That's the time machine you need to get in, the one that brings you to today, right this very minute, at 12:36 Chicago time. Are you here now? Because you're in a time machine in then and in the future. But if you clean up your life, you'll be in that time machine will send you right back to now. You'll feel young, sparkly, and gosh darn good about everything. And when you feel that way, your world will be right, your trading will be better, everything works better that way. Is this inspirational talk? You be the judge, because I'm not saying it to be inspiring. I'm saying it to inspire you to do this. The real inspiration comes from actually doing it and feeling yourself transported back to this moment. Once you get there, once you get even closer to now, you can tell all the signposts are good. the lights are green, things are starting to work for you. Try that. Put this stuff to work and see if that doesn't make a difference in your life. And, of course, your trading, because this is a part of your life as well. It shows up everywhere, in your relationships, the way you talk to that store clerk, the way you talk to a policeman, everything that you deal with in life. When you're present and accounted for and you don't have the big strainer that you've been pulling and accumulating things, you will handle things in a dramatically different way than you do now. Not because you've practiced it, not because you've rehearsed it, not because you were told to do it that way, not because you think it makes you look like a man to do it that way or like a woman to do it that way, because it'll have an intelligence in it that isn't from memory. You'll be dealing with now, from now, where the source of intelligence really is. You can get to that. It's right here and now. It's only distant from you when you have all these other things stacked behind you in that strainer. And instead of trying to fix the strainer, instead of trying to drill a new hole in the strainer, instead of trying to take those little chunks and throw them out where they're just going to accumulate again, you just get rid of the whole strainer process. You unhook that chain, and now you've got a whole different kind of life. And there you are. You came to hear about trading, and you heard about a whole new way of living. So we got a little bonus today. From Street Cones to Paradise by David Williams.
Oh, my goodness. We wander all over the street.
We do. Now, let's go real quick. I know you're probably running out of time, Dwayne, but you got me going here, so we're going to go to a couple more markets, and we'll be done.
Somebody said this conversation is straining me. Oh. Yeah.
Well, there you are. he's getting the point. That's my point right there. The rock can't get through that little hole. Now you got to drag that around with you all day. It's miserable.
Apparently from Jason, there's some news out on the Euro. One of the angry birds in the audience wants to know, are you long the Euro or not? Did it confirm to the upside per your broadcast? Are you trying to say you took a loss? Is that why you did the whole strainer on the beach analogy?
I know. I must have some motive here. I've got to have a motive for having this discussion this morning. Let's get
rich.
Into it. Let's start because we got some time. It's great.
All right.
I'll take you all on one at a time. First, let's start with gold.
Gold.
Wayne, you're
is.
Still giggling.
I am. I can't help.
Just a quick review on gold. We had talked several weeks back about the week of November 14th, which was important, several other markets being a top. It came 1 week early, and we've had a pretty good decline in gold, back down to some relatively important levels, and then we're bouncing here off of it. And I think we talked yesterday about gold. We had a date of December 2nd, basically between the 1st and the 2nd of December is one of the important dates, and we're sitting at one pretty close right now. And I don't have anything really big to add to this except that I think I mentioned that gold is at a critical level. This is just in our work, of course, which I'm always referring to our work in this, but gold is at a critical point because we're running out of time for a natural level, which is $1,645. That's a natural level that began on November 23rd. What that means, if you're new, is that on November 23rd forward, the price of 1645 is the natural place that the market would want to go. And if that sounds strange, like why would the market want to go there? It's long and involved, but it's a natural level, very much like, you know, the birds fly, you know, north in the winter or whatever. It's that kind of natural, as far as I'm concerned. And you can see we did not touch 1645. Which means that the market is at a critical juncture right here, like I mentioned yesterday, at these price levels. And the price level I mentioned yesterday was 1721, 1722. That level, as long as they're below it, we're running out of time for this now because we're about 4 days past November 23rd, and this particular cycle is about a five-day period. So if we don't start, if we really don't break down here to go do an attempt, a late attempt at 1645, then the market is actually in a bullish position. And that would mean that, and just to make sure that you trade it correctly, could you just buy it now? Yes, but I think a much wiser way to do it would be to wait for the market to have hourly or daily closes maybe worst case above $1,726, something like that, and then just go long, and then we'll address it at that time. Now, I know that's, you know, that's a specific entry, and it doesn't mean that we have a specific price, because it might close above 1726 by going 40 points up on that same day. And I don't mean to go long 40 points higher, but I'm saying using the 1722 to 1726 level as the early breakout level that you could surmise, you could infer that because the market has not done 1645, especially leading into tomorrow, that means that it's in a bullish position here. If it then subsequently closes above those levels, the 1726 level, or maybe a little lower, you can start if you want to be aggressive. But we're going to be on the radio program every day all the way up until Christmas, so we can talk about this as it goes on. But that's where we are. So we're sitting at a critical juncture in gold. Just to be sure that there's no unnecessary losses, I would prefer to see people take a long position once we get hourly or daily closes above 1726, 1725, somewhere in that range. And then I would want to continue, you know, this would be either a day trade or a multi-day trade. You have to love the gold market. This is a market that is just moves, has great volatility, pretty much does everything it's supposed to do because it has good volatility. And when markets go very quiet, they can also be traded, but it's a different quality to them. And targets outside of the then current narrowed down range won't be hit for quite some period of time. And you have to trade with much smaller targets, which is not bad. Some people can make a real living on that. And for those of you who really don't like volatility, it's not a bad idea to look for markets that are quiet and trade your small moves in that. I mean, it's nothing wrong about that. Unless, of course, you don't feel like a man and you really want to step up and trade the big volatility, because people say that's, you know, there we are back again. Now, you can make money out of this any way you want. You know, go for the small ranges, go for the option plays. You know, people talk about options on the program. I used to do almost nothing but sell options. For many years, I was just selling puts and calls because it was such a easy way to not have to be tied to the screen, and I could place these positions. They were slow boats, you know, for profit, but you could, at the end of a month, you could still accumulate a nice chunk of change. I also learned some pretty powerful lessons by trading options as well, but you learn those same lessons in every other market, or every other instrument, whether you're trading stocks or options or futures. The lessons are the same. It's just how fast it takes to get there, how fast it takes for the lesson to be given. Probably the fastest lessons are learned in the futures market because they move quickly, and you just get right down to business. So whatever lesson there is, you're going to get hit with it pretty quickly. So gold's at this critical juncture. I'm not doing anything with it right now as a day trader. We happen to be long in gold from 2 years ago, and we're continuing to hold that position for the time being. And fundamentally speaking, with regard to news and world events, as long as there's great uncertainty, and there certainly is great uncertainty, the gold market is likely to stay pretty strong. The gold market is very good at anticipating, this is why one of the reasons they call them futures markets. It's very good at anticipating when something is going to happen that's going to necessitate gold to not be such in demand anymore. And that sometimes can be as far out as 6 months in advance. So, you know, you do have to trade with stops, like we always say, but as long as we're more than 6 months away from being able to see our way clear of anything, and I think we are in that position, will be for some time here, possibly really until the next election, because, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty. Some of the mechanical things that can happen is that things can just get better mechanically, that nobody really did anything necessarily, or if you want to lay the blame on somebody and say, well, Obama's policies finally started working and everything's great now. You know, that stimulus that he spent 3 years ago, it's finally kicking in. And now, you know, whatever you want to attribute it to, mechanically things just get better. And suddenly the gold market could take a dive. But other than something like that happening, I think gold is going to remain in a bullish position for some time yet. And so we're holding our longer-term position as a trend-following position. So we'll talk about that more as we continue. So that's gold. I don't have anything else on that at this particular moment. I've mentioned before about the U.S. Treasury bond market. Most of us don't trade in this, probably, but that this is putting in a, well, it is in the process of putting in a weekly top, right now. The on-time week is the week of November 28th. This is the 30-year Treasury bond. This is a weekly top. It looks like it came 1 week early. And this is a weekly top inside a quarterly top whose quarter we're in the on-time quarter right now. So you see what we're saying here is that we have a quarterly top. This is a longer time frame. We're expecting a multi-quarter decline. That's years, likely. Decline in the bond market. That means interest rates go up. So once this quarter is in, this is the on-time quarter, and inside of this quarter, we're presently putting in the on-time week for a top. Quarterly top, on time, and a weekly top, looks like it occurred last week, perhaps 1 week early. I like that. I like that kind of setup for a potential trade for those of you who are interested in the bonds. Am I talking about going long? No. I'm talking about being short in the bonds. You can wait for some confirmation. You can wait for the week to end and see how they handle it here. But that is our forecast. And so for people who are thinking about, I've mentioned this before, financing things, whether it's cars or homes, we're getting nearer to the point now where the bond market will decline and there's an inverse relationship. And so as bonds in the futures market go down, the interest rates start to go up. So keep that in mind. Probably a potentially a really good time to refinance if you have a home, to refinance it if you want to, or to finance a new home. Let's take a look at the euro. We talked about the euro. This market has several important factors. Number one, and this is what is on most people's minds, the news. Look at what news is coming out. They're talking about the euro completely failing. Am I not correct, Dwayne?
You know, David, somebody just typed in that there was news out just moments ago about, let me go up here and see if I can find it again. The headline on Drudge, oh, okay, Jason, did you mean to say on Drudge, as in Drudge Report? Euro on the brink. Okay, I guess this wasn't like a financial, this was like a commentary piece. But yeah, I mean, it's on the brink. No doubt about
okay.
it.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Huge bad news. What power that we know of could change this? I don't know.
Well, we could make the same comment about the stock market. There's been nothing but bad news since the 666 bottom, pretty much, and the market continues to go higher. And there's been lots of bad news, tons of really bad news. And the market has gone higher. So I'm not a real believer in, listen, the news is out that there may be a complete collapse of the euro. And here's the euro today. Moderate range, not a lot of volatility. It's sitting here. If you believe in markets, perhaps the market's telling us something. Because that news, that uncertainty, would normally, perhaps, drive the market lower in fear. But we're not seeing that right now. We still may subsequently go lower from here, possible. But let's repeat what our forecast was for the euro and the setup for it so that we can possibly take advantage of it if it does show us a turn. And I have not taken a position in the euro yet, so and I'll let you know just when I will, and I might even be able to tell you some of the things that would interest me if I could get this euro chart to oh, that's why. Hold on here. My euro chart was showing a wrong. This one was showing a wrong month, I believe. Let me try it on this one. Oh, here we go. Yeah. It's interesting because we're in an uptrend. If you guys take a look at your charts going back to the 25th, like looking at an hourly chart or maybe a two-hour chart, 120-minute chart, we're sort of in an uptrend here. We haven't done anything spectacular, but we have been moving up from there. Our forecast is based on a little bit longer-term time frame, and we're sitting at a very critical level right now price-wise, where we're trading above, I have to switch back to my shorter term chart, but I gave the number out yesterday, but the main forecast, and I'll get it in a minute here, the main forecast would be that if we do firm up here, because we're in only the second day of this week, and so there's some critical timing that I'd like to see a little bit more go by, a little bit more time go by here before I get too excited about it. But then we are talking about the market advancing from the present levels that we're seeing up to 136.70, which is about 300 plus ticks from here. This is a weekly setup. This means, well, put it this way, it's weekly. It could also be considered daily as well, but you would have to be in it for a couple of weeks, so it's weekly. If you're willing to hold overnight positions, this could be a very interesting setup for that. The reason we're not in it yet is because we would like to see some further confirmation. My particular trading style is such that although I like the short-term stuff they've done on the 120 chart or the 60-minute chart, if you want to flip up to that, they've started a little bit of an advance here. I'm still not convinced yet, and one of the things that I do when I'm trading markets that I don't trade as aggressively perhaps as the S&P, or aggressively as often, I mean, I don't trade it as often, is, you know, there's plenty of room in that 300 ticks. If the market tomorrow were for some reason to break out and start gapping up and get up to, you know, 134.60 or 134.90.
Did you ask me to go to a higher time frame?
I'm sorry?
Did you ask me to go to a higher time frame?
No. I was just saying that we're just taking a look at a 60 or a 120.
This is an hourly right here that we're looking at.
Yeah. My strategy was this. You know, I'm either going to get in on a pullback here at levels similar to what we're seeing now or maybe a little lower. Or I'm going to wait for the market to really have shown its hand, so much so that people that drive cabs would be saying, boy, look at that euro go. You know, everybody knows, the cab drivers know, and it's on. But what they don't know, though, that we can know, is that if that does happen, the market wants to go to 137 or 136.70. And therefore, we can get in, again, at spots where many people would feel uncomfortable trading. Because we're not trading at the edges where we're trying to catch the actual turn and this and that and the other. With reflected wave, I will also have an opportunity, if they show it to us, to buy pullbacks along the way, whatever time frame they're on, 15 minute or whatever, and to be able to get long somewhere in there. Do I get the full 300 points? Nope. Under those conditions, I won't. But I might get 130 of them, and it might be really easy, and that makes for really nice living. It's a very easy way to pick up a nice chunk of points once the move has been confirmed. The odds of the move completing once it's really gotten past that confirmation are really high. Whereas when you trade at the edges, the odds of the move completing are much less, but you get a much better price. See how fair the markets are? You can have a better price, but you have more risk. That's fair. Or you can make less money with more certainty, and that's also fair. And I like making less money with more certainty because I'm not into trying to get the very last penny out of the trade. What I really want to do is when I get in, I want to know that the likelihood of my investment being correct is very high. That's the drug I'm taking. That's what I'm smoking, is that whatever Dwayne's smoking, I'm not sure about it. I think it may be corn because he has a lot of pictures of corn on his site, and I'm starting to think that he's doing something with corn. You can ask him about it in an email.
It won't quit raining in Kenya.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No. Well, when everybody's trying to grow their corn, it wouldn't rain. Now that everybody's trying to harvest their corn, it won't stop raining. And, yeah, I mean, people are losing. We've lost untold acres because remember I showed that picture the other day of the truck
sure.
trying to get through the mud?
The truck, right.
I mean, the workers there, and trust me, those the character of those people and their desire to work and to earn a living is greater than probably anything I've ever seen. And they have literally thrown up their hands and said, we can't go back into the field. Because they're carrying out sacks of corn, trying to carry out, because the tractors and the trucks can't even get in there. So they go in there, they bag it, and they try to slog out with like these huge sacks, and the mud is up to their kneecaps and above, and they just, and they're so frustrated because they're like, God, we want the work, we need the money, you know, and it just won't. And the forecast, more rain, so you know, God said he would never destroy the earth again by water, but he didn't say it wouldn't rain an awful lot. So, I mean, we've seen it around the world and Australia and all kinds of places over the last few years. And right now, here's a country that's been in a huge drought and, you know, famine, and now the heavens have opened up and just won't stop. So,
well, that's unfortunate. It's just
so in answer to your question, it's hard to smoke a soggy corncob pipe.
No, I know, but when it dries out, that's where I'm wondering what you're doing with it. But that's, you know. Okay, so you may be smoking corn, but that's what I'm smoking. I'm just looking for the easy trade, and I'm looking for easy meaning. What does easy mean? Easy means that there's a high probability that once I'm in, I'm right, that I'm on the right side of right. And that whatever remains in the trade, however much profit remains, I gave up some, but I'm getting this amount. You know, I went from wanting to get it all in the beginning to wanting to being willing to take somewhat less, but still wanting to get the bigger chunk to, you know, this point where I am now, which is so far down the road where I'm not even concerned with what I get. I'm only concerned with being in when I'm right, being in when the probabilities mean that the likelihood of the move is going to be there. Sometimes, by the way, that does also allow me to be in right at a turning point, just like we do in reflective wave. Sometimes those are beautiful trades. We had one yesterday near the end of the day when the market bottomed and rallied in the end of the day. We were long in that on Messenger Pro. And that was for those of you who have reflected wave, this is something that we teach, pagetrader.com, or you can go to Master Forecaster course. Yesterday's bottom that they made late in the session was a 15 or whatever time frame reflected wave bottom it was. We bought that and had a very, very nice trade. Had done nothing the whole day. Just sitting around feeling like, you know, the losers and all. Boy, I tell you what, there's this day trading really doesn't do much. But when they showed something that was easy and obvious, it was very easy and obvious that we could make money with it. And that's how trading goes. It doesn't quite run on your own schedule. It runs on its own schedule. And you may have to get bored sometimes or do something else with your time or get some exercise, whatever it is. And then when they show you that special moment or those moments that cluster together, you can really put a nice trade together. We may be approaching such a spot right now in the market as well with this decline that has occurred this morning off of 1203. So we'll see. So real quick, let's go back if I can. I just want to finish up on the euro and just make it clear. And let's wait, unless you want to be aggressive and you have some other technique, perhaps using Dwayne's and Michael's work, you could certainly, if it signaled you to be long, you could also use reflected wave on a reflected wave pullback. But we're going to wait. It's the second day in the week, and I want to see a little more time in here. But we're looking again for the possibility, although it's not an outright forecast right now, if they do firm at these levels, at or near these levels, then we are looking for the market to advance up to 136.70. Ain't no two gosh darn ways about it. And that would make a nice trade no matter where you get in. And then when you're at the bar with your buddies and they're all bragging about this, that, and the other, or they're trading or whatever, it's probably not a good idea to be bragging too much about your trading, but because it leads to other weird things. But you could always brag back to them, well, yeah, I didn't make as much per contract as you did. You guys, you know, got a nice longer pull out of it. But when I got in, I didn't have to sit through much of anything, and the probabilities were much higher in my favor, and that's how I roll. And then just take a swig of that non-alcoholic beer, slam it down, and say, God, it feels good to be a man. Something like that.
And then cry.
And then cry. And then break into tears over that. That's good. I like that, Dwayne. Let's see if there's anything else we can talk about. I'm excited about this Euro one. I actually really like this setup, and that scares me a little bit, so I'm waiting. Because I know when I go, oh, I like that, you know, I do. I like this. It looks good. I like the setup of it. And I've already mentioned one of the levels, but I wouldn't even be objecting to waiting for them to get over 144 for me to, you know, get back in it, or a daily close above it, whatever. As soon as it becomes obvious that they're starting to firm up, I'd like to take advantage of it on the long side. And I'll tell you when we do. I've already told you that, and I said it yesterday. When we get in, I'll tell you. So I didn't have a big discussion today about all this because we're in the Euro market.
Okay. Last question here from the audience. Got anything on soybeans?
Let's see.
And could
well,
you quickly recap the S&P because Alan was late?
Well, that's fine. No, I don't have anything really big on soybeans. The reason we haven't had something really big on soybeans is partially because I haven't been paying as much attention to it. Soybeans had a very powerful top that they put in. For those of you, again, with reflected wave and some of the other stuff, there was a very important weekly top that they put in, a really, really powerful type of sell signal that they put in back on the week of August 29th. And the market has declined dramatically from those levels. And that left the market in a position for lower prices, low enough to set up a larger time frame bottom that would be due. And I won't go into all the detail right now because we don't have any direct trade based off of this, but I will start putting more time and attention in on soybeans. We did do a lot with soybeans earlier in the year, and the soybean market is really good, but this downtrend has sort of left me a little bit on the sidelines. You know, I just didn't see enough in there. There was a few little trades we took, but really we've had several months where we really haven't been focused on this. Really nice decline. But for some reason, when it started moving down, the choppiness of it and the back and forth of it, I didn't find myself in the market. You know, I didn't find myself in the trade, and I didn't push it. I didn't press myself too hard to chase that. And so it's not a race that I'm trying to win or that you should be trying to win. It's just high probability trades that we're looking for, stuff that you can say to yourself, yeah, I see myself in this. It's like opening up a yearbook and you see your picture and you go, I recognize that. It's just like that with trades. Oh, there I am. I see that trade right there. That's me. I like that. And then you take advantage of that. So the S&P right now is in a position where we may be getting close to a midday type of bottom here where we can take advantage of this to the long side. And so watch your stuff here right in this time frame, and this will give us something. So other than that, everything that we talked about yesterday has happened. November 30th is the next important daily top that we're expecting in the S&P. So today is one day early. We like still at this point buying the market. Yes, it could come in one day early, but if they give us a nice buying signal like what they may be setting up here now, I like buying it and trading this market. Got to love the S&P. You have to be careful. You have to trade with stops, but this is a fabulous market, especially under the current conditions with the volatility and all that. So, Duane, I think we've covered just about everything that the listeners can take from me today. They'll be in the mood for me tomorrow. You give them an overnight. You let them go to sleep. They'll be in the mood. But I think they've had enough of me today.
Well, David, it's always interesting.
Well, my pleasure.
We went to the beach. We went a lot of places today. So
we went a lot of places. You know, sometimes we do, and I can be I could just go on and on sometimes. It's a disorder. I've told you that. I need to see a specialist. So anyway.
Well, listen, have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Duane. Thank you to the listeners as well, and we'll talk again tomorrow and see if we can work with the euro and possibly with the S&P even right now as we talked.
If you're out and about, grab me a hand warmer. I guess we'll need it. So
we will. See, that's great. Duane, I may take you up on that.
All right.
Serious.
I'll talk to you soon. All right.
All right. Thank you, guys. I'll see you soon. See you tomorrow.
Have a great afternoon.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.
I didn't notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending time with you. Every day's a new day.
All right, that's my cue as well to get up and get out. Things do, people see. Class tonight. Oh, whew. Thank God for a life full of things to do. Right? I would complain, man, I got to go here, I got to go there, I got to do this. Thank God I've got the energy and the strength and the wherewithal and the fortitude and the clear mind to do it. You know? I can spend all afternoon complaining about it, or I can just, like, turn the radio on, get a little praise music going, and just, I don't know, be happy. Right? All right. This trade here, I put the little square in here so that you'd see this pullback that came together here. Formed a little doji. That's our textbook setup. The bearish cross, the pullback. The doji was just like a... as an extra added bonus. But down here, if you see where we pierced the bottom of the envelope, we pierced the red envelope from the bottom right here. And so up here, that's at a price of about $11.97. We've come down to almost $11.92 so far on the 10,000 contract chart. This is not an entry tool, this is a confirmation tool. The entry is up here. The confirmation came down here. A pierce from the bottom of the red envelope typically will lead to a 5 to 6 point move. Okay? And we got, depends on how you measure it, about 5. But again, you're not using this to get into the trade. It's just that once you have your setup and you get in, this is letting you know, yep, the probability is in your favor that the market is headed in that direction. Okay. When it pierces a blue line, that signals an up move. Okay. Does it always turn into something really big and important? Not always. No. Beware of those people that tell you that this always happens. Okay. Because there's very few absolutes in the world of trading. This one here, I can easily see, did go... how far did it go? The signal came in at 99... well, actually came in at 1200. And it, and the market dropped to 95. Is that correct? The low, 96. Okay. So that one dropped only 4. That's if you're measuring it from here. If you actually measured it from over here, you know, then you're splitting hairs. And so again, it's a confirmation tool. The setup is here. This is just a confirmation down here. But it looks like this move's not quite done with yet. So a definite pierce from the bottom of the red envelope. And this pierce was right here. Right there. And so that gets us in up here at 98 on that short. But see, the setup got you in over here at 98. You had a drawdown. Okay, you drew down to 99. And from 98, it's now moved to 92. 2 quarter, which is almost 6 points, and it may have a little more to go. So that's just one of the setups, one of the things we do every day in the live trading room. So we invite you to come hang out with us. You still have 2 days to not only take the free trial but to win the iPad 2. Okay, it's brand new in the box, iPad 2. Go to cfrn.net/iPad. If you yourself have already taken the free trial, refer a friend who has not. And when your friend goes to that web page, cfrn.net/iPad, he'll sign up for the free trial, or she. They'll put your name in the referral box. You'll both get an entry for the drawing to win the iPad 2. All right? Wonderful thing. I wouldn't want to be without mine. All right, that's going to do it for today. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests.
To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.